Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 158, Gaming with Mom. That's right, this is episode 158, and I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. For all of you new and longtime listeners alike, I would like to welcome you to this episode of the show. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that all the things I talk about in this episode will be covered in our show notes, so you don't have to worry about remembering everything. I know a lot of you listen while you're painting, you're commuting, you're at the gym or whatever. You don't have to worry. It's hard to keep track of all that kind of stuff, but just remember this one thing. The link to the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR158. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR158. And that's all you need. So today's episode is, of course, in honor of Mother's Day, which was just recently celebrated here in the U.S. I'm going to cover a few games that I played with my mom and I played with my wife, who is also a mother. And these are games that I think any of us can play with our mothers, that I think they really will appeal. This is not a comprehensive listing. There are definitely many, many, many other games out there that moms love to play, or people who are like moms love to play. So I'm not trying to pigeonhole anyone or leave games out or any of that kind of stuff. If you have games that you've played with your mom or with moms or women who are like moms, please let me know. Send an email to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. And I'd love to hear from you and just tell me what some of the games are that you've played with moms and what you've liked about them and what they've liked about them. Before I go any further, I also just want to let you know this is going to be a shorter episode. You might not be able to hear it in my voice, but I've been battling this really bad cold sort of thing for the past couple weeks, and it's morphed into this really nasty cough, and it's interfered with my asthma. I'm an asthmatic. I'm trying to save my voice as much as possible for this coming weekend. I'm recording it actually the day after Mother's Day here in the U.S., This coming weekend is Huzzah. I'm doing a live show at Huzzah. I'll talk a little bit more about that near the end of the show. But I wanted to make sure that I got this episode out to all of you. And I was thinking, oh, you know, should I wait and try to record it when I'm doing better, which is what I did. So I waited. And usually I record every other weekend. And I waited and I waited. And I thought, okay, I got this cold and this cough and all this sort of stuff. If I just wait, maybe I'll sound better. And maybe I'll feel better and feel up to doing it. I waited, and it didn't do anything. And I waited, and I started to feel better. And then I waited, and it got worse and worse. And I mean, now I'm on medication and everything for that, and it's helping, I think. But it's a slow, slow process. So like I said, I'm trying to save my voice and save my health for our journey to Maine, to Huzzah, and for my live show there. So this will be a shorter episode instead of like the normal about hour-length episode. So I hope you will forgive me for that. And I hope that you understand, but I think this is a topic, gaming with mom, that appeals to a lot of people. And of course, it doesn't just have to be moms. I'm using moms or people who are like mothers to us because Mother's Day was yesterday. But this could be for anyone, really, regardless of gender, regardless of age. It doesn't really matter. These games are pretty much just acceptable to a wide range of people. The first one I want to start with is a board game that I have played a lot with my mother over the years, from the time when I was a younger kid, on the way up. And it's a classic Milton Bradley game, I believe. It's Stratego. They've remade it a million times over the years. It is a lot of fun. And I'm including it in this list instead of some of the other games that I had played, because some of the other games, really, they are just, they're kid games. And I mean, this is a kid's game as well. But I think it's one that it can, you know, age up with you so that as you are older, you can still enjoy it. And then if you have children, if you're a mom, or if your significant other is a mom, that they can play it with your kids. And you can play it with your kids. So that you will still get enjoyment out of it, kids will like it, and it can just kind of follow you. Now, Stratego is a war game, actually, where you have hidden placement of your forces. You have these 3D stand-up markers, and on one side is the face of your unit and a number, and on the other side is just, it's a solid color, blue or red, depending on what faction you're playing. And you have your side of the board, and your opponent has their side, and you put your troops however you want them to be. You have a flag, and you have some bomb markers, and you put them out. And it's very basic in that certain numbers beat other numbers. So the lower the number, the better, because a number 4 person beats a number 5, and beats a number 6, and a number 7, and a number 8, and a number 9. The one exception is there's a unit called a miner, and the miner is the only one who can destroy or defuse the bomb. So anyone else, even a number 1 who's like the general, the highest in command, even if they come in touch with a bomb, kaput, they're done. Now there's special abilities that some of these different units have, and that's covered more in the rules. If you are interested in the game, I will have a link to it on the show notes so that you can purchase the game if you would like. It'll probably be an affiliate link. One of the things that my mother and I have really enjoyed about Stratego is that you don't know what you're getting, okay? So even if you play with someone a lot and you kind of get used to their playing style, you may not even then really know how they're going to lay out their forces. And since it's hidden deployment, you don't know where the person you're playing with has put all this stuff. So you kind of have to replicate warfare. If you're a general in the field, you don't know generally, pun intended, you don't know where your enemy has their forces. You don't know how it's set up. So you need to scout. You need to send your troops out, and you need to survey here and look there and try to pin down what unit is here, what unit is there, where is their strongest forces amassed, where do they have a weakness that you can exploit. And so that's replicated in this game, because you send your units across the board, which is the battlefield, and you're trying to see, oh, well, I'm going to go and attack here. What is that? And so when you attack, you both have to reveal what unit you have, and then you resolve that battle. And so you can use that to kind of see, okay, well, they got a number 4 here and a number 2 here, and oh, here's a number 1, and I'm not ready to go off against them, so I need to stay away. And it's just like real warfare. The set that I have, the units are painted in what I would consider to be a Napoleonic type garb. I'm not saying the Napoleonic uniforms, but they are inspired by that sort of era of fancy uniforms, as some people like to say. A very technical here on Wargaming Recon, right? But Stratego can be a lot of fun. Kids get a lot of joy because although they don't know what mom has on the other side, they like moving stuff around and seeing what's there. It can be challenging enough so that, like a game of Dungeons and Dragons, you have that fog of war where, as a parent, if you're playing with a child, you can kind of, you know, do the Dungeon Master's thing of playing with the results to give an outcome that you want. If you want to give your child a little bit of a challenging time, but still allow them to win, if they are, you know, of that certain age, you can put your troops in certain ways, and your little buddy's not going to know the difference. And if you're playing with an older child, you're playing with an adult who's your child, or you're an adult playing with another adult who's a mom and so forth, you can have that more challenging aspect of it compared to like real kids games like Candyland or Chutes and Ladders and that sort of stuff, where there is no war gaming aspect of it. And those, they're not intended to have it. But Stratego really takes that and it simplifies it in many ways, but still makes it challenging enough that adults can enjoy it. So that's the first one on my list. And I have 4 others that I'm going to share with you. I'm not going to explain how to play all of these games. Some of these games are ones that I have explained in the past how to play. Some of them, I'm sure just many of us know how to play. And some of them are ones that I'll explain at other times on other episodes of the show. This episode is really just to kind of share what some of these games are and why they might be fun for us to play with our moms, or for those of us who are moms to play with our kids and other people who are special to us. So my wife, who is not a gamer, and I've said that many times on the show, she's not. She'll play Mario Kart, right? And she'll play stuff like that. She'll play some party games, but by and large, gaming's just not her thing, and that's okay. But what she will do is she'll play games if they're for certain circumstances. Most often that'll be when I'm doing the Extra Life 24-hour game-a-thon. It'll get to be a certain point at night, and I'll want to play some games, and maybe my buddies have gone home, the baby might be in bed, and they'll say, hey, do you want to play something? She'll say, yeah. And at that point, we don't want anything too involved because, frankly, we're tired. We're tired anyway as new-ish parents. You know, our daughter is a toddler now, technically, but still young enough that just gets us going, and we're exhausted by the end of the day. We're exhausted before the end of the day. But especially when you're doing something like this, makes you even more tired. So we like to play something that's a little lighter, a little more accessible, and knowing that my wife is not someone who's going to want to play that in-depth strategy kind of game, that those just really turn her off. It's not of her interest. We play something lighter, taking all these factors into account. And that's one of the most important things when you're playing with anyone, not just moms. I know many gamers, many war gamers happen to be men, and when the topic of playing with women comes up, it can come across as if talking down on them or making concessions that, you know, they're not real gamers, and I'm not trying to do any of that. I think it's very important to know your audience, and that includes when you're playing games. If you're someone who loves to play Magic the Gathering, but you're going to be gaming with someone who's like a 40K player, don't say, let's play Magic the Gathering, because they're probably not going to have a good time. Similarly, they shouldn't be like, let's play 40K if they know you don't like it, because you're not going to have a good time. Same thing here. I know that my wife doesn't like those in-depth games, and I know in the circumstance I'm talking about with the Extra Life 24-hour Gamerthon, we're both extra, extra tired, so we don't want anything really in-depth. We want something a little more accessible. So the first game I'm going to mention, I've talked about many times on the show before. It's made it onto my holiday gift guide list several times, I believe, and it is Zombie Dice. It's become a classic now, in my opinion. It's been around for, oh, geez, at least half a dozen, if not 10 years. It's an amazing dice game. It's not a war game by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a lot of fun. One of the things my wife likes about it is that she likes zombies. I'm not really a zombie kind of guy. That whole horror thing, just kind of not my sort of thing. I have a very active imagination, so I'm not someone who enjoys that sort of stuff. But she likes zombies. I like to roll dice. She likes to roll dice. You have fun, colored dice. You're trying to be a zombie and eat up to 13 brains. You need to get 13 brains to win. And the dice have different icons on and symbols on each side. Feet to show that your prey has fled. A blast icon that shows that your prey has a shotgun and they shot you in the face. Or brain, which means you got a brain. Yum, 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 brain. A lot of comedy involved here. Also appeals to my wife. Appeals to me too. I don't necessarily consider myself a funny person, but I do like a good laugh. And so we have a good time with this. There's some cool expansions with it that includes a Santa Claus dice that's red and does different things. And there's a movie blockbuster kind of dice. And there's a cheerleader slash football player sort of dice that changes the number of icons or symbols on certain facings of the dice. So you can have interesting and fun results. There's an app for this for Google Play, I believe, and the iOS store. Not as good as the real thing. Just pick up the game. The base game is $13.13. The reason why I know this is because that's a really odd number, and it hasn't changed, to my knowledge. That's still the MSRP, so even with inflation and everything since the game's come out, I believe most, if not all, of your friendly local game stores are selling it for $13.13. And if they're not, well then, they probably had to pay more for it too, and that's how it goes. Or if you're buying it online, if you don't have a friendly local game store, I'll have a link in the show notes so you can get it through our Amazon affiliate link. And that helps us out. It doesn't cost you anything extra and get you a game for a good price. And it puts a little money in the show's budget and helps things along here. Zombie Dice is so much fun. Very quick to play. Just about anything can happen. So it's unexpected. It's cool. You can play a bunch of it in a short span of time. Or you can play it and then play something else, which is what we do. We also like to play Guillotine. This is an older game, and I can't honestly recall when Guillotine quite came out. But it is a card game, sort of. And the reason why I say that is, you have cards, so in essence, it really is a card game. There's no board aspect to it. But you have this kind of cool 3D guillotine. It's a paper guillotine, almost of the same card material used when making paper terrain. If you're building like a paper building, it's that kind of card stock. Different from the playing cards, but you know what I mean. And you put that at the head of the table, so to speak, and you create a line of cards. You flip over the cards from the deck. Each of you has a hand of cards. Excuse me. And you are playing a game set in the French Revolution, in those heady days when the people rose up and said, down with the monarchy, down with the nobles, down with the clergy. Just take them all. Everyone who has money who's not us should go. And off with their head. That's this game. It doesn't sound appropriate for moms to be playing with small children, but of course there's a certain age range there. I'm not saying small children, but it's kind of has that humor value to it, and you can use it as a teaching tool too. You're trying to, in the game, kill the nobles with the most points value so that at the end of the game you're the winner, and you have special cards that will say give you more points for, say, getting blue nobles or getting red nobles. I'm calling them all nobles, but they're not technically all nobles, but red cards that are military cards. You get different points values for stuff. And that's the game. Every turn, the card at the closest to the guillotine gets their head cut off, and then they die, and the line gets shorter and shorter, and you play 3 days worth of the game, so to speak, in game, and at the end of that, that's the bloodlust has been sated and the game's over, I guess. And I'm making it sound really dark, but it's not. It's as humorous as you can make a revolution sound when people are dying. And I don't want to make light of that because it wasn't a light and cheery kind of time. It was very scary and frightening for people. And a lot of people died. So I don't want to be like, oh, ha, 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 look at this fun game that's just making fun of. It's not. But the game itself is kind of humorous, and it's fun, and it's enjoyable. It is a quick game. It's also an affordable game. It's one that I highly recommend, and its mechanic influenced another game that I like that has made my holiday gift guide at least once, but if not, maybe two or three times, and that is Sitting Ducks Gallery. Similar kind of mechanic, but instead of people, there are ducks, and you shoot ducks, kind of like the old NES game Duck Hunt. Similar mechanic. And that's actually how I heard of Guillotine, because I loved Sitting Ducks Gallery. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Let me learn more about it. And someone's like, it's the same mechanic as, and lo and behold, it is. It's inspired by the Guillotine mechanic. My wife actually loves Guillotine. She's not a bloodthirsty kind of person, but she enjoys playing it. And, you know, it has some math involved, which is cool. It has strategy, because you have to figure out what colors are best for you to go after. Do you just go after the high point targets? Do you want to get a lot of the lower point ones? You have special cards that will boost those totals. And then there are cards that allow you to rearrange the line of the affluent who are heading to their demise, to the guillotine. So you can just kind of shift that around and everything. A little bit of unexpectedness, which is kind of cool. That's a common theme in some of the games I'm talking about. But that Fog of War is very important, I think, in just about any game that any of us can play. The next game I'm going to talk about is one that was recommended to me by Troll in the Corner owner Ben Gerber. It's one that he's played with his wife, and his kids have played it, and my wife and I have played it. It's called Hanabi. It's set in ancient China, and what you are trying to do is you're trying to put on a very successful fireworks show using cards that each have numbers, and you're trying to get different colored cards in certain numeric order. It kind of has a go fish sort of mechanic to it, but at the same time, it's a little more advanced because you are trying to build these different colored fireworks, a blue firework, a red firework, a yellow firework, and so forth, by placing cards in a certain order. But you're working against your opponent. So you're trying to win, and you're trying to do this. The more people you have to play, the more fun it is. My wife and I have played it. Not her favorite, but she does enjoy that it's a quick game. It's a card game. It's something that you can play, and the more you play, I think the more you enjoy it. We played it a few times, not a ton by any stretch of the imagination, but it's interesting. And it's the kind of game where you play it once to kind of like teach it, maybe even two times to kind of teach it. depending on who you're playing with. And then after that, you can really get into more of the strategy involved. Which numbers do you put down first? What colors do you go? Do you try to complete one firework before moving on to the next? Do you do a little in each? And how do you want to do it? And then there's scoring involved at the end, of course, and you can be deemed the winner. It's a fun, light kind of area game, which is great because for kids, they don't want anything involved, right? They want to just play a game with mom. But for adults, it's one you can play. You can play this game with your mom, or if your mom, you can play, you know, with whoever. And, like, I could play this with my mom, right? It's the sort of game that she would like to play, and I can play with her. But it would really just be a tool so that we can play the game and we can just chat. My mom and I love to chat. We just talk. We just talk about all sorts of stuff, really. But it's cool to have something to do while chatting, right? And it's nice to just sit and chat and converse. But sometimes it's nice to have something to do while you're conversing. Hanabi is that kind of game. You can do it. You can be thinking about it and get really involved. Or you can use it as more as a icebreaker. And not that you need an icebreaker with your mom necessarily. Some people do. I don't. But even if you don't, you just do and just get the conversation flowing. It's kind of nice. The final game I'm going to talk about kind of breaks the mold a little bit for when I mentioned that my wife doesn't like in-depth games. And it's not really in-depth, but it's more in-depth than some of the other ones. And I'm talking about Pandemic, the original Pandemic version. I don't have the new ones. I never traded my copy in. I got Pandemic and its expansion, the first expansion, the only one that was out at that time. And my wife, at first, didn't really like it as much, but I think that's because it was a case of, it's a cooperative game, and I think maybe she felt that other players who played it when we play in groups, an issue with cooperative games can be that other players, instead of just laying out options, take your turns for you, and that can happen. So that's a concern. But with the right people, you don't have to worry about that in a cooperative game. And hopefully if you're a mom or you're playing with your mom, you're not going to take control. Allow mom to make her own moves. Mom can do it. Mom's smart. Mom knows what she's doing, right? My wife knows what she's doing. And so playing this is a lot of fun. You are trying to rid the world, or cure the world, really, of these deadly diseases. And you work together to go across the board to cure the different colored diseases. There's blue, there's yellow, there's green. There's no green. There's black, red, and so forth. And you work together to do that. So a nice cooperative game. Each of these other games that I've been talking about, Stratego, Zombie Dice, Guillotine, Hanabi, they're not really cooperative. You want to win. Pandemic is a cooperative game. No one person wins. You either all win or you all lose. You're going to lose a lot more than you win. Trust me on that. The game's hard, right? It's not an easy game, but it's a game that, with assistance, younger kids can play. Grown-ups get a lot of fun out of it. Moms like it, or my wife, who's a mom, likes it because it is a cooperative game. You're doing a good thing. You're not killing people. You're not doing anything deadly or scary or whatever. You're trying to help people. You're trying to help people be better by eradicating, curing these awful, awful diseases. And you can name them whatever the heck you want to name them. Each one's a different color, but name them whatever you like. Funny names, real names, whatever. And you work for the World Health Organization, I believe it is, in the game, or it might be CDC. And you go off, and you are trying to just cure these diseases. It has a lot of cubes, which are these just cool little wooden colored cubes and meatballs and things. A lot of cool parts and cards, and people like having all the stuff to do things. But you plan together, plot it each turn together. Oh, well, we want to do such and such. How can we get there? And you work as a team. It's a great team building game. I think it's great for spouses to play. I love playing with my wife, who's a mom. I would love to play with my mom. I think it works across the board. So that's the last one, Pandemic. As I said, check with your friendly local game store for any of these games. They should have them. If by chance they don't, or if you don't have a friendly local game store nearby, please check out our show notes, because I'll have a link in them. That link will go to Amazon, and it'll be an affiliate link, so you can buy them from Amazon, save yourself a few bucks. Then Amazon just sends a little bit of money our way as thanks for sending you to them to do some business. So that'll be in the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR158. Now, since this is a shorter episode, I'm going to skip the mailbag section. I know it's one of my favorite, and I'm sure a lot of you like it too, but I'm going to skip it, and I'm just going to move on to some announcements to have. So by this point, since the convention is so close, I'm sure you know that Huzzah is taking place May 13th through the 16th, 2016. As I said at the start of the show, I'm going to be doing a live recording at Huzzah. How exciting is that, right? So my live recording is going to be there on the Sunday morning, and I got my buddy Adrian who's going to be with me, and we're going to be hanging out, and we're going to be talking about what we've done at Huzzah. And last time that we did this, it was a lot of fun. We played some games together, but we played a lot of games separately. When I go to Huzzah, can you tell the cough medicine's kicking in? When I go to Huzzah, I go with my wife, we take the baby with us, and it tends to be around the time of our wedding anniversary. So we use it both as a thing for me for the show, play some games, talk about it on Wargaming Recon, but it's also kind of like our getaway, our weekend getaway for our wedding anniversary. So we divide up the weekend. It works really, really well. If any of you are interested in going to Huzzah in the future, or any convention really, and your significant other's not so keen on it, or it's near a special event, they might be more open if you split it up. So for example, most of Saturday is how it ends up working out. Most of Saturday is the time that I spend with my wife and my daughter. And we go and we see Portland and we do stuff or whatever. We take mornings for ourselves, so I don't do anything early in the morning. And then, like, I'll play games Friday night. Saturday night, I believe, I have a game. And then Sunday morning, I do my thing. And the rest of the time is for my family. But like I said, I am doing a live recording on Sunday. It'll be, let's see, do they have the time? Good. I was just looking at the event list, and my game. My live recording begins at 10 a.m. It'll end at 11 a.m., at which point I turn into a pumpkin and I vanish. No, but really, it'll be at 10 a.m. It's going to be in one of the rooms right off of registration. I don't know the room name. I had it last time, my last year's Huzzah. When I get there, I will have that information, and I'll put that in our social media, which is why it's really good to follow Wargaming Recon on social media. In particular, Facebook, that's where we're most active. But we're on Twitter as well, and so you can get content there. But I will have updated information there, and you can come and sit and watch the show be recorded, and maybe we'll take some questions from the audience. We'll see how it goes, and it should just be a lot of fun. So that, as I said, will be Sunday, 10 a.m. at Huzzah. And then, since we are so close to it, pre-reg is closed. You can register in person at the convention. A lot of people do it, so you might want to go and consider doing that. You can see what games are being done, look at the tables, and go and register and play some stuff. Or if you just want to look around and shop, you can get in for free, I believe, and just look around and see what's going on. It's at the Doubletree in South Portland over near the main mall. And also, I mentioned last time, but I want to mention again, that some items are coming in already for the Extra Life charity auction. The auction doesn't take place until November 2016. That's when the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon will be. I do the auction around the same time, so that'll be going on then. I want to thank once again Dave for painting this amazing model. It's Napoleon as First Consul 1800. It's a metal 28mm figure by Trent Miniatures, sculpted by Mark Copplestone. Dave painted it. It's gorgeous, as I said. I have a sneak peek on the Facebook page. And then Stuart Foley of PaintedWarGameFigures.co.uk has painted Frank Gallagher from the TV show Shameless. The model is a 28mm figure by Hassle-Free Miniatures, sculpted by Kev White. Stuart painted it with GW and Vallejo paints. It's another beautiful model. A sneak peek is available on our Facebook page. And then I have to thank a very special listener. I have to thank listener Jamie for this wonderful care package he sent. So the other day I come home and there's this box outside my house. I'm like, what the heck? I didn't order anything. And so I opened it, and inside is a box of Hat Industry 172nd scale Ancient Romans. It's their Imperial Roman Command set. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is for the charity auction. And I'm opening it, and there's like a receipt from the store that it was bought, and there's some business cards inside from a painting company. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then hidden deep inside, wrapped up in bubble wrap, some of the models are painted, and they're really nice. And I'm like, oh, this is just really great, you know, tabletop scale. They painted in the color scheme used in the box, and they look good. And I'm trying to figure out who sent them and why they got sent, and I couldn't figure it out. And all I can think of is from the auction. But I see that on one of the business cards is the name of the owner of the painting company. So I look them up, and I find them on Facebook, and I contact them at Scattershot Painting, and I get in touch, and they say, hey, you know, one of your listeners, Jamie, asked me to do this, and I already thank Jamie separately, but it was just a really nice surprise. So kind and generous, and I'm humbled and appreciative of this. So I just want to say thank you, and I'll have some photos of them up on our Facebook page at a later date. But it was just really nice to come across that when I came home. I'd also like to take this time just to thank all of you who support the show on Patreon. So I would like to thank Dave and the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick and Chris Parker for your kind support on Patreon. I also want to let those of you who support the show on Patreon know that your rewards are being processed. I've been slowed up a little bit because of my ailment, but I'm hoping to get these done and out before I leave for Huzzah. So I beg your indulgence with that, but they will be on their way. Don't worry. I'm getting that out. Just take me a smidge longer, and I really do apologize for that. And I want to thank the very kind people at the Maine Historical Wargamers Association for sponsoring Wargaming Recon. Really, without their generosity and without the kindness of those of you who support the show through Patreon, without all of you, Wargaming Recon would not exist. It wouldn't be possible. So thank you to all of you for your very kind support and generosity. It means a lot. It really does. So at this point, I just want to remind all of you, the link to the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR158. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR158. The next episode of the show actually comes out May 23rd. It'll have a very special announcement in it. I have to keep it secret for now. I can't tell you now. I'd love to tell you now. It's very big news, exciting, but I can't share it now. But you'll hear it on the next episode, which comes out May 23rd. Or if you're going to Huzzah, I will announce it at the live recording. So you'll be able to hear it that Sunday at 10 a.m. during the live recording of the show. And I'll make the announcement then. So you can be there at the live recording, hear it before everyone else. Like, oh! I think it's pretty exciting. And then everyone else will hear it when the episode comes out, as it were. So as always, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope that you'll find that some of the games I mentioned will be of interest to you and the moms in your life. And don't forget, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you always have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
If you're a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer, then you need to tune in to the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.